Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, a reason for people in our tri-state area to vote in the presidential election, even though New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are all solidly blue states. We'll explain. Tricia Rose on race as an issue in the presidential election and Obama's term, and Jad Abumrad today, host of Radiolab. Susan Page in just a minute, but let me just do a little piece of duty for the last time during this membership drive this fall. This is the final morning of our fall membership drive. Nobody is more relieved than me, but folks, if we haven't gotten you yet, this year, we've got to get you right now. We'll use bribery. We'll use guilt. We'll walk past reason to appeal to your gut. But if you listen to WNYC 3, 4, 5 days a week, you know who you are. Excuse me. So please make a tax-deductible donation right now at 1-888-376-WNYC or online at WNYC.org. Those of you who have never donated, thanks for your first-time gifts. We really appreciate them, and we've gotten many this fall, and I think you'll find it satisfying for you to help finance the public radio station that you listen to a lot if you've never donated before. And current members, thanks as always for your renewals. We will add a year or two whenever your current member year ends, but this is the final morning of the drive, so for the last time, over the next 2 hours, I'll be saying, please, folks, if you listen all the time to WNYC, do something to help support us. 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. And thank you all so very much. Now, Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Hi, Susan. Welcome back to WNYC.
I am ready to make a donation. You're so persuasive.
I have twisted your arm. Besides, you want to come back as a guest in the future. No, I'm kidding. I said we'd use bribery, but I didn't say we'd use blackmail. I think we may have a new reason for people in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut to vote in the presidential election, even though everyone knows the electoral votes around here will all go for Obama. The polls are starting to show an increasing possibility that Obama will win the electoral vote, but Romney will win the popular vote. Do you see that scenario as plausible?
I think it is possible. I don't think it's likely. But if the election continues to be as close as it is today, I think that scenario is conceivable. I was actually at a press conference this morning with Stan Greenberg, the Democratic pollster, who was, of course, President Clinton's pollster. And he said he thought Obama would win the election, but he said he thought Obama's chances of winning in the battlegrounds, winning the Electoral College, were higher than his chances of carrying the popular vote. So it is possible that we would see a reprise of that 2000 result.
And, of course, that happened in 2000 when Gore won the popular vote and George W. Bush was elected. It contributed to the bitterness of Democrats who were so embittered to begin with by the Supreme Court ending the Florida recount after that election. They didn't actually know that Gore had won the popular vote until a little after that, I think. But do you think it had any ramifications for the country or for the Bush administration's ability to govern?
I think it had some. Now, I was actually struck at the time at how Democrats, even those who were so dismayed and thought it was so wrong what the Supreme Court did to settle that election, you know, that they did not question the legitimacy of George Bush's presidency by and large. Life went on, but it's not something people have forgotten. And I do think it's one of several factors that have contributed to the kind of polarization that we continue to deal with every day now.
What might be the political ramification this time if Obama is reelected but Romney wins the popular vote? Would it make Republicans in Congress feel that much more empowered to dig in and obstruct any Obama initiative like in the first term? Or would bigger forces like the fiscal cliff force them toward compromise?
I think the answer to that is yes. I think that both things would happen, that Republicans would be able to make the argument that most Americans had supported their candidate and their agenda. And that makes it harder for President Obama to claim the kind of mandate that he hopes to be able to claim for the policies that he's been espousing. But you do have this fiscal cliff looming, and, you know, there's going to be an imperative there that may push all the parties involved to try to come to some kind of deal.
So this is a reason for people who support either Obama or Romney, really, to turn out in New Jersey and New York and Connecticut, in my opinion. We know where our electoral votes are going, but if you want your candidate, either one of them, to have more legitimacy or more political clout if he is elected, if you want your party in Congress to have more power, regardless of the Electoral College vote for president, the presidential popular vote would add to that. So you should turn out and vote on Election Day in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut and try to run up the numbers. Wouldn't you say, Susan, that there is something for people in the non-swing states to actually play for?
I think that's right. And, you know, one reason we're seeing some disparity between the national polls and the polls in the 8 to 12 swing states is that Republican voters are so engaged in this election. Even Republican voters across the South, which, of course, are, with the exception of Florida and Virginia and maybe North Carolina, very safely Republican areas. That's what's driving up those national numbers is the attitude. It's not so much an attitude for Mitt Romney. It is a strong attitude against Barack Obama. And that means that, you know, I think we're going to see relatively good turnout in some of those safely red states. We know that enthusiasm for President Obama among core Democrats is a lot lower than it was 4 years ago. So that's definitely a factor in this scenario, this possibility that we're talking about.
So you don't think it could happen the other way? I mean, I think about the biggest states, some of the biggest states, which are some of the bluest states, New York and California. Of course, Texas is a very red state. But we're only hearing the speculation in the direction of Obama winning a close electoral college vote and Romney perhaps winning the popular vote anyway. Is that much more likely than the other way around for some reason?
I think it's more likely for the reasons of enthusiasm. I mean, if you're not in a swing state, if you haven't been the subject of this barrage of campaign ads and candidate appearances, who's going to be motivated to go vote? And it's, at least at the moment, with just 14 days to go, that tends to be Republicans. So I think the more likely, if we have a split decision, the more likely scenario is that Mitt Romney would win the national vote and President Obama would win the Electoral College majority. Although, if you have these very close elections, as we think this one is going to be, it's hard to be sure of anything. I'm mostly hoping we get a result on election night, whatever it's for,
yes.
And that we don't have another scenario where it goes on and on and on.
Yes.
That was a tough time for the country.
Hopefully we don't have that repeat of 2000, no matter who wins. Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief from USA Today, my guest on WNYC. And how do you think this all intersects with the other big race that probably isn't getting talked about enough in the national media, and that is the race for control of the Senate? Because if we assume that the House is going to stay majority Republican, then if Romney is elected president and he has a Republican House, then whether or not he has a Republican Senate is huge. And, of course, same thing for Obama. If he's reelected, to have an entirely Republican-controlled Congress would be very different than having a split Congress.
You know, that's completely true. And the other reason we should be paying a lot of attention to the Senate races is that they're not going the way we expected. I mean, if we had talked a year ago, we would have been talking about the likelihood that Republicans would be in a very good position to take over the Senate because of the number of Democratic senators who are up for reelection. Since then, as we get to the end of the election, you know, it's possible that Republicans will make gains of a seat or two, but it now looks like a real stretch for them to get the four seats that they would need to claim majority control because of some retirements like Olympia Snowe in Maine, because some races that Democrats thought they had a good chance of losing now look pretty good, like Claire McCaskill in Missouri. I mean, and we even had developments in the last 24 hours in Indiana for that race, that Senate race, which had been Republican-leaning. The Republican candidate made some comments on rape yesterday that are rebounding, causing a considerable amount of controversy. That may make even Indiana a more competitive Senate race.
On the Claire McCaskill potential for reelection, Democrats are saying, thank you, Todd Akin, for being you. And on this Indiana race, again, it has to do with rape, and it's the Republican candidate Richard Murdoch who beat moderate Senator Richard Lugar in a primary, right? And so what did exactly he say?
He said that rape was a terrible thing, but when pregnancy resulted from rape, it was, what were his exact words, an act of God or a gift from God. And he has now tried to walk back those remarks somewhat, saying what he really meant was the creation of life is a wonderful thing, but trying to back away from the suggestion that it is, I guess maybe the word he used was act of God. But in any case, this is another case where a Republican Republican leaning state, to be sure, but one in which Democrats sometimes win statewide elections, is in some trouble for his comments.
And I hadn't heard the exact text of that. We're going to look it up so we can tell our listeners exactly what it was. But, geez, on that topic, it's almost as if he and Todd Akin had a little strategy session back in August, and they're gradually rolling it out. Now comes the campaign end games, which historically are known to get ugly in close elections of any kind, local, state, or federal. We had a caller to our Swing States Network pre-debate show on Monday night who described a horribly bottom-feeding anti-Obama video that she received in the mail. And apparently this is not just going out to a few people. This is being consciously distributed in some swing states area. Listen to this call.
I'm a supporter, and I'm registered as an independent, but I got one of those DVDs in the mail called Dreams of My Real Father. And what it is this, like, quote-unquote, like, documentary, and I haven't watched it, but I looked into it, and it's this documentary about how Obama's real father isn't actually his real father, that his real father is a Marxist. And it's just ridiculous. It's like, okay, you know, at first they're like, oh, where's your birth certificate? So he's a Kenyan, and now he's a socialist. And then, you know, it's all of these other things that's like, they're just grasping at straws, it seems.
Abby from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, calling our Monday night show. Are you familiar with that video? And Is it an example of the kind of thing that happens in the last 2 weeks of a campaign?
You know, Brian, I actually had not heard about this video until I got an email this morning about the things you wanted to talk about, and it was on the list of things, and so I Googled it and found a story about it. It is, you know, one of those truly scurrilous things that happens sometimes in campaigns and often happens without getting any attention. It's just dismaying to have it in an election, I think. Now, will it have an effect? Well, it didn't sound like it was affecting the Obama supporter who called into you. And it seems to me anyone who would take seriously the kind of accusations that are made in this documentary, so-called documentary, are probably not an Obama voter to start with. But I don't think it's just not a good thing.
No,
for
it would be to potentially gin up the anti-Obama turnout for Romney, not that it would sway an Obama voter off her position. I read that the Republican pollster Frank Luntz held focus group testing of that video and two others and decided against recommending that it be used, according to the focus group results, but it's getting out there anyway. Another one, supposedly today, Donald Trump is going to release some kind of Barack and Michelle tentative divorce papers from some long ago rocky period in their marriage, supposedly. The twice divorced Trump says this will be really big, which of course it won't. But again, is this kind of bottom feeding coordinated with the party?
Often it's not. I mean, I think it's probably unfair in the absence of evidence to tie it, say, to the Romney campaign or to the Republican National Committee. But it happens in campaigns, and it's usually fringe groups that are doing it, or people like Donald Trump, who's not exactly a fringe group, but he's definitely an independent actor when it comes to some of these political things.
Are there Democratic equivalents that you're familiar with? Here are two that are breaking out from the GOP.
Yeah. I haven't heard about any Democratic ones that are equivalent, but that's not to say it's not conceivable that they are. I mean, there have been some anti-Mormon stuff that has come out about Romney, but I've not heard that it's kind of tied to Democratic groups. It's often been tied to evangelical Christian groups who have problems with, not groups, but activists who have problems with the Mormon faith. So I don't know of anything that's equivalent on the Democratic side, but I wouldn't want to say conclusively that there's not anything that exists.
And here's a little more, as I promised, I would, to fill in the Richard Murdoch quote, the Indiana Republican Senate candidate, that the quote that surfaced yesterday, saying that when a woman becomes pregnant during a rape, quote, that's something God intended. And he said further, I struggled with it myself for a long time. I guess he means whether there should be an exception for rape and incest. But I came to realize that life is that gift from God. And I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that is something God intended to happen. Quote from Richard Murdoch, causing him troubles in the last day in his candidacy for Senate in Indiana. Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Hey, Brian, great to be with you. And good luck on the fundraising.
Thanks so much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A lot more to come this morning. Stay with us.